This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome. I'm so glad to have you guys joining us today. And with me is someone that I would call a vintage mom and a mom extraordinaire and an amazing artist. She's a homeschool mommy graduate, and she homeschooled her two boys and also is the owner of Visual Manna, and that's V-I-S-U-A-L-M-A-N-N-A. And it's visualmanna.com is the website. And Sharon and her husband, Rich, homeschooled their boys, and unfortunately Rich had an accident some years ago and was suddenly taken from us, but left a legacy of his art, which, you know, Sharon is an artist as well and is carrying on. And Sharon, you've done a remarkable job, and I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much, Felice. It's so good to be here.
Yeah, it really is amazing to have you here. And I met you and Rich years ago when you came to Fort Myers, where I live, and you were putting on some art workshops as you were traveling to conferences. And, you know, it was just amazing meeting you, and it was really a God thing because we've been friends ever since, and I can't say that about everyone I've met along the way, but, you know, you're really good at staying in touch and calling me on occasion or emailing me and saying you're praying for me, and we just have gotten to be good friends. So I'm really happy today, Sharon, to be sharing some of the new things you're doing. I mean, Sharon's on the road teaching some classes with a big group, and you can find out more about that on her website. Sharon has another site, which is temporary for right now, but I'm going to go ahead and give you that link, and it's V as in visual, M as in manna, another M as in manna, classes.com. So it's VMM classes, plural.com, and you can find out what Sharon is doing, you know, as she's on the road. And Sharon has a publisher, which is Rainbow Resources, so you can get all of her books from there. So, Sharon, today we're going to talk about, you know, some of the techniques and methods for teaching art, and you are a master artist, and again, I've witnessed that when you were working with my then young children on the floor, on the carpet. You pulled out some paper, and I kept saying, don't you want a table? And you were so cute. You were down on the floor with the kids on their level. And, you know, guys, if you're listening to this and you see Sharon Jeffis's name anywhere, any place near you, and she also will come to your place and teach art, grab her because she is the most encouraging person I've ever seen. I walked into an art class that she was teaching, and she didn't even hear that I was there. I was observing her, waiting for a chance to get in to say, you know, I'll see you at lunch when we were at a workshop. And she was so encouraging. I mean, some of these art renderings, for lack of a better word, Sharon, were not that great, and yet you were so encouraging. You were, you know, you would say something like, oh, I really like what you did here, or, you know, this swirl is really great, or I like the way you use the color yellow. I mean, you found something to be positive about where I would be like, maybe we need to revisit the art concepts here. Something you do naturally.
Well, I think it's because art is such a catalyst for original thinking and creativity, and that one of the most important things about it, especially with younger children, is that you can think of new ideas and come up with new ideas, and that's very, very important, and kids need to be encouraged to think out of the box. And within the framework of course, the elements and principles of art, when they come up with something a little bit different or new, they need a lot of encouragement, because if that little creativity inside of them get stifled, then they're not even going to want to try, and then they don't get any better. And I think that happens an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And so today we're going to talk about, you know, some of the methods for teaching art, and you really think that teaching the elements and principles of art is important, and you really have some things to say about that. So, you know, why don't you share with us a little bit about your philosophy of teaching art to homeschool kids?
Okay, Felice. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, first of all, and I just respect you so much for all that you've done for the homeschool community. It's just been amazing. And I think that many times in the homeschool community, kids get art piece by piece. They don't get anything cohesive and together. And so a lot of times these kids that are very extraordinarily gifted, they don't really go far in art, and they don't use their talent for the Lord. They don't get a chance to. They don't get an opportunity to. And I think what I believe in teaching art is you really need to start with the elements and principles of art, because in the first place, you know, we look at advertisements all the time. When we look at a movie, it has an art director. Why is the rule of thirds important? Why do certain colors mean so much when you're working with people and you're advertising? The center of interest, the focus, the emphasis. Artists manipulate things all the time so that they can communicate better. And when you start with the principles and elements of art, like the first element of art is line, and it's powerful and it's important. And I always tell kids, you know, don't ever scribble. I saw one work of art, a young man had done an amazing job in a three-point perspective of a space station, and he really nailed the three-point perspective perfectly, but then he took a colored pencil, and he was really quick, and he scribbled, colored it in a way that he could have had something for a digital portfolio that would have been on a professional level, and it ruined it totally because the lines, you know, you could see the scribbling of the colored pencil. And so line is so important. Every single line on a finished work of art is thought through, and it's very important. And the second element of art, of course, is shape. And then you go to texture and value and color. And when you can understand all of these, and then I believe that when you pull in the masterwork of art, like if you look at a picture, one of my very favorite artists is Albert Bierstadt, and the reason is because I love landscapes, but very seldom do we ever think of how things, when we look at mountains, the way that mountains are lighter in the background and they get darker in the foreground, and land does that. Even a cityscape, the city buildings are lighter in the background and they get darker. The sky is darker at the top and lighter at the horizon line, and some artists even say they can see the yellow, the warmth of the earth, and, you know, you can see this in their work. And so, you know, I try to get children to realize to see like an artist, and when you start seeing like an artist, you can produce artwork that is very, very good.
Mm,
and
I love that.
The importance, it's just important, and it's very important, as I said before. I mean, this is my platform, so I could go on forever, but
right.
To be able to take it step by step.
Well, you know, there's a lot of free stuff out there, you know, art downloads and ebooks and things like that. And, you know, that's great, and people love to have some freebies. And so one of the things that I asked is if you would get something together for me, and you did. And so
I've got
that, yeah, with this audio. So if you go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and you click on the link to this broadcast, you'll see that link there for this wonderful ebook that Sharon put together. And Sharon, I love what you do because you do teach in a cohesive manner. And I have your master's art book. I have a lot of your books for through the years that I've used with my children. And now I'm even getting to use them with my grandchildren. And you really love, you know, using the master's as, you know, an example. And that is so great because I don't see that very often.
Well, it's We have such a rich heritage in art, in our country, in the world. I mean, the genre artists are the artists that actually teach history. And, you know, we have such a rich group of them in America. Catlin tells us about the Indians by his artwork. We have Audubon, of course, science artist. And so few people know that the Leonardo da Vinci of America is really considered Robert Fulton, who's actually studied painting in England with Benjamin West, was an excellent artist. And, you know, we have a rich heritage. Morse, the developer of the telegraph, was also an artist. And Rufus Porter, the founder of Scientific American magazine, was an artist. And I think art does promote out-of-the-box thinking. And there's, when you look at these old paintings that are actually picturing history, because there were no photographers that were taking pictures, I mean, you're actually looking at history. And it's just so valuable, I think, for children to be able to appreciate what a rich heritage they do have.
And, you know, one of the things that you did for our Ultimate Homeschool Expo is you recorded quite a few audios on teaching art. And so I'm really excited about that, because at some point those will be bundled and available on the website, so that if you just want art-specific audios, we'll have those. But Sharon, you talked about a lot of different mediums, and I know for me, the two easiest are crayon and color pencil, but my love is watercolors. I really enjoy using those, and I like, I used to like to use acrylics until I found how great oil paint was. But, you know, now I've been to the paint stores and art supply stores, and everything is so expensive. I think I was looking at burnt sienna or one of the, you know, really rich colors, and it was something like $56 per tube of paint. I could not believe it. I'm sorry?
Probably Winsor & Newton. There's some brands that are very expensive.
Yeah.
And professional artists use them. And I think that when you're just beginning, you can go to Walmart and you can buy a set of watercolors, tube watercolors, and or you could buy very inexpensive supplies. You don't want to get too cheap. You don't want to get I say baby stuff because, you know, when you go to a Walmart store or you go to a Hobby Lobby or Michael's or an art store, you can get a nice set of tube watercolors for $6, $7, $8, $9. That'll be fine. Now, if you want to go on and be a professional, you can pay up to $15, $20 for one piece of paper. You can buy Winsor & Newton watercolors, but that's only if, you know, your student has decided this is my medium. And until they try, you know, there are so many homeschooled children, I think, that they're afraid to leave pencil. They only do colored pencil or regular pencil, and they're really afraid to begin painting. And I have some techniques for that I've developed that are very, very helpful. And my hope is that I can train up a group of high school older kids and get them to have a digital portfolio and allow them to be just the best of the best. That would be my heart, to do that, and then to be able to have them use their art for the Lord and for good. Because we have a huge amount of visual artists that are not Christians, and we don't have a lot of, we have extraordinarily talented kids, but we haven't been able to nail the training yet where they're up to the level that they really should be, because so many of them are lost at the very beginning because they don't study it cohesively.
Wow.
And that's just my opinion.
Right. That's awesome, though. Well, Sharon, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with more information for parents about teaching their children art.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus. the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter, Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I am the host of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today with me on the line, we've been talking to Sharon Jeffis of Visual Manna. And Sharon would love to hear from you. You can contact Sharon at visualmanna@gmail.com with your art questions, or, you know, even if you're interested in a specific book, just go ahead and email Sharon and she can help you get that. And Sharon's publisher is Rainbow Resources, and you can find them online as well and find out what books Sharon has, which are quite a few. So Sharon, if someone is thinking about doing art with their homeschooler and they have someone who is just beginning, which one of your books would you recommend?
Well, probably Art Basics for Children. My big curriculum, again, I'm trying to redo that a little bit, but I think that that's a really good foundation and a good start to incorporate art every day and understand that with younger children, you can pull so many things in because they love to draw generally, and it's a fine motor skill development. Do things that develop their fine motor skills and being able to teach them core things at the same time. You can just, because when you do, it's kinesthetic and visual learning, and if you have read the book, The Way They Learn, there's several wonderful books. I think Diana Waring has one. I think Joyce Herzog is wonderful with that. But everybody has their own learning style, children do, and if you zero in on visual and kinesthetic learners in art, it's amazing how they can remember. They remember what they learn when they do it, as opposed, it's like when you're a mom, you can understand this. If you just read a recipe, how much do you remember? But if you watch on the TV someone or a friend baking it, how much do you remember? But then if you really bake it yourself, of course, you remember very, very well. It's the same thing with learning. When you actually do it, you remember it much better. And then another step is to teach it. I remember one time with my boys, we did a big unit on the solar system when I was homeschooling, and we made all kind of fun things. My older son made a rocket ship, and we did a outer space calendar, et cetera. And one of my best books, I think, is Teaching Astronomy Through Art, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, but I know that then I had them teach it. I had them, had several families over, and they did a teaching of astronomy, and they just loved it, and they really got to know it well because they taught it. And, of course, that pulls in so many other things at the same time. And I think I did a book, Teaching Astronomy Through Art, because some of the most beautiful things in the world are seen in outer space, the Hubble telescope, and you've learned so many techniques in pastels, and I talk about how to use oil pastels and combining that, and the kids, it just turned out so very successfully. The projects are just beautiful, and then they learn astronomy at the same time, or doing science projects that are very kinesthetic, and they really can remember it because they have learned by doing it. And I don't know, you're probably familiar with, there's a cross in outer space that the Hubble telescope recently has discovered. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Felice, or know about it, but if you type in the Cross in Outer Space, the Hubble Telescope, it's amazing. It's just beautiful. And there's all, anyway, there's just different things in outer space that are just blow me away with their beauty.
you do. And I think that's the artist eye in you, that you, you know, see so many things that I think the rest of us just take for granted. And I wanted to talk about the pastels, because I had boxes of pastels here. I think it's something that either comes in an art kit that you buy for your kids, or you just, I've just collected through the years. And I had some, because, you know, I loved art, and I was an amateur artist. And at one point, I was even thinking of minoring in art. That was not going to happen after my first real art class in college, where people critique your work. They were not kind, Sharon. They knew I was an elementary ed major, and so I was kind of stomping in on their territory, and the teacher actually liked my work. But so it was definitely very basic, and maybe that's what he liked about it, I don't know. But anyway, I had all these pastels, and every time I took them out, I just didn't know how to use them. And when, you know, I think people try to use them like crayons, and they, you know, you rub your hand over it and they smear. So, you know, what are some things we can do with pastels? You know, I know this is not visual, and if we had, you know, a movie camera on you, you would be great, because you're so good visually. But, you know, can you give us some, you know, just like little techniques? Because I know they smudge really well, but what could you do with them?
Okay, well, I think with chalk pastels, the big thing with you using oil or chalk pastels is you have to get past the idea these are not crayons. You don't really, you want them to have an opaque appearance, and they're a very good foundational thing for painting. When you start with your chalk pastels, you want to always put, you have a palette, and if you're blending with your finger or a tortilla, you want to put more than one color down. If you do an apple, if you do an animal, start with a gold ochre, cover your whole animal with that color, then add your white, your brown, your gray, and then you shade it, and then you detail it. You can detail it with the chalk pastel pencils or with charcoal. These are dry mediums, so they go well together. The oil pastel is a medium that's fabulous to use. And if you you want a color very dark, you want, again, you want an opaque appearance. But you can also, when you color real dark, you can smear it and get beautiful fuzzy edges. You can take a pair of scissors, or you can just get little lines in it. You can get really cool textures with it. You can teach blending and mixing. Like, a lot of times I do a color wheel feather, and we blend it and mix it, and we get a feathered look on both sides of it. But, you know, you want to remember opaque. Again, crayons are fine. Most children have used so many crayons that it's hard to get them out of the, you know, of the idea of this isn't a crayon. And when you look at a painting, you know, you want things to be opaque. You want it to look like a picture. You don't want it to look like a bunch of lines. Now, if you're Van Gogh, you know, the post-impressionist movement, you have your Seurat, Van Gogh, that's different. That's a little bit different. You want to focus on the lines, because Van Gogh, if you're replicating a Van Gogh, which isn't a bad idea, you know, it's a really fun thing to do. Replicating a master can always be a good idea, because you always can learn from it. But basically, when you use either one of those mediums, you want to remember with the dry pastel that you have a palette, and you want to blend and mix with it just like paint. And then with your oil pastels, you want to color very, very dark, because you can do so much with it. And you could even take turpentine with a really good oil pastel. And, you know, it's just like anything else. If you bought Rembrandt pastels, you know, there's names that are more expensive. But when you're starting out with children, you don't need to do that. You can go to Walmart or Hobby Lobby and buy a student quality kind of an oil pastel. Now, oil pastels that are very cheap are a nightmare. They're horrible. You can't blend and mix with them. They're an app, and a lot of times you buy a cheap little art kit, you know, in a little box, and you think, oh, this is nice. It's going to be so nice. But if the quality isn't there, then the medium's lost as far as technique goes. So So, you know, you need to make sure there's a fine line with qualities. You want
right.
them to be, same thing with chalk pastels. You want to have a fluidity. You want it to be able to blend it. So, again, if you get something too cheap, that's not going to be good.
Right. And then, you know, I want to remind listeners, because I know a lot of people listening are on budgets, you know, most of us are. And so, you know, subscribe to places that do have coupon offers, because I know I often get 50% off in some stores, especially on a Sunday afternoon, I think, because, you know, none of us are really shopping on Sunday afternoon. And so that's a really slow time for them. So they might offer, you know, 50% off on one item, and that's great to be able to run in and just get that one item. And you can start building your art like that. Right.
Yeah, Michaels and Hobby Lobby both, they have coupons all the time. You get 40%
right.
off your highest priced item. So if you have your little iPhone with you, you can just dial that right in and they'll read your iPhone. You don't even have to have the coupon.
Right.
And
right.
you can get 40% off your, you know, your most expensive
mm-hmm.
item.
Right.
And
good idea.
I try to have apprentice, you know, like my idea would be to mentor some older students, and which I'm trying to do. I have a couple students and several of them that I've tried to mentor and train them to go out and do what I do in the same way. And my heart is that they would be able to make money doing it. And I've developed a program that is, it's very cool because it's very foundational, the elements and principles of art, and yet it teaches the Bible at the same time. And as they're eliminating art in all the different, many different schools, you know, like doing the cross in perspective. And the master artists that have done it, Caspar David Friedrich, the Romanticists, Cole did the cross, different perspectives of the cross. Renoir even has a lady with a beautiful cross necklace. And Moran, Thomas Moran, the famous landscape artist, has the mountain of the Holy Cross. He has a cross in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's different perspectives on something, and then to get kids to be able to draw it as one of the elements of art, where they're getting what they have to do from the quote-unquote state perspective. They're getting the elements and principles, and yet at the same time they're getting the spiritual things as well. That's sort of what I'm trying to work on, to be able to train
wonderful.
Kids to be able to go out and teach it to the younger kids, you know.
Right.
That's what I'd like to do.
That's wonderful, because you really are, you know, interested in leaving a legacy for families,
sure.
and that is just, you know, so wonderful. And if you're listening to this audio, please go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and you will see this episode with Sharon that will be labeled, and there you'll be able to find the basic art principles, the PDF that Sharon has shared with all of you listening to this episode. And so, you know, we encourage you to go get that. And then also visit Sharon on visualmana.com, as well as her brand new site that has information about her upcoming classes, Visual Mana Media Class, and that's vmmclasses.com. And you'll be able to find out more about her. And, you know, Sharon, I didn't even share that, you know, you have BS in art education from John Brown University, and so they can find more information about you and your ministry.
And there's free lessons that they can click on to,
visual
lessons at the Rainbow Resource, at the site that they have as well.
Good.
They can
That's
do
wonderful.
Some free lessons.
Yep, that's great. Great to know, and so they can find out more. And like I said, you know, contact Sharon at visualmana@gmail.com. She's always willing to work out something special online.
Any questions?
Anyway
I can help.
That's wonderful. And also if someone has a budding artist and they want some specific help from you, they can contact you and find out more about your tutoring, because I know you do some of that online in your classes.
Well, any way that I can help and encourage kids in art, I just want to do it. I feel so thankful to get to do it.
Okay, Sharon. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to hearing from you again in the future. God bless.
Thank you, Felice. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.